In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ is born.
Glorify him.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Brothers and sisters, when God becomes incarnate, when God becomes man in the person of Jesus Christ, it is right then already God's act of salvation. At that moment, he takes our broken humanity into himself and restores it in himself, raising up again the image of God, which had fallen. The image of God, which is you and I. In the image of God created he them, we read in Genesis. As Bishop Callistos Ware says, the incarnation is an act of identification and sharing. God saves us by identifying himself with us, by knowing our human experience from the inside. And our identity and destiny, therefore, are reestablished in the manger in Bethlehem. So the incarnation, from then until now, for these 2,000 some years, is our spiritual foundation, the spiritual foundation of Western civilization. As one priest has written, at the Feast of the Nativity, we are reminded that the proper question is no longer God or man, since in the miracle of the Incarnation, which we celebrate, God has become man. We don't have to choose between God's way and man's way. We don't have to decide, is God close or near? God has come to be with us. He continues, if the Incarnation is real, and it is the bedrock of Christianity, then humanity finds its whole goal and purpose in becoming like God, since the Nativity opens that door to us. As Christians, we, as believers in the incarnate God, as believers in Jesus Christ, we look back. We tend to naturally look back. We look back and find who we are in what happened at Bethlehem and Nazareth and Jerusalem, where God came to live and indeed to die as one of us. And we stand on the Word of God and on the Holy Fathers as affirming and explaining timeless truths to us who give us our tradition. As G.K. Chesterton said, tradition means to give our ancestors a vote, to give them a say, a vote in what happens today, to listen to their voice from the past as applying to today's realities. So the past has a great say on the present in the Christian worldview, and indeed defines who we are today. Over the past century or so, an alternative worldview, an alternative ideology has been brewing. And with extraordinary technological progress as evidence, many have concluded that humanity is advancing, and is advancing now beyond the old and worn traditions and customs of the past 2,000 years of Christian history. That mankind is progressing beyond the concepts of God, the concept of a Savior, beyond the concept of sin, of tradition, indeed of the Christian ideal. And this progressivism now predominates our cultural, academic, and political climate. It has indeed become a choice of man over God, a direct denial of the Incarnation, a choice of the man-God instead of the God-man. A choice of the man, of human beings who act as gods on earth rather than bowing their head to the true and living God and creator of all. To set up a kingdom of man on earth instead of the kingdom of God. And it is a conscious looking ahead and an ignoring of the past, choosing to learn nothing from the past and assuming there's nothing to learn. And particularly ignoring the Soviet experiment and its abject failure, learning nothing. One of the particular failures of public schooling in our day, amongst other failures, is the failure to teach about Soviet communism. The failure to teach about Soviet communism and its God-hating attempt to bring about the new Soviet man. The new Soviet man who would be free of the shackles of past superstitions. The new Soviet man turned out to be the same old sinful human being, and finally more of a monster than human. Nothing new and hardly human is the new Soviet man. But we are promised today that with just the right people in power, and with them having enough power and money, a new and brighter day, a golden future will dawn despite all evidence to the contrary. Intoxicated by their own self-righteousness and bringing us new definitions of what that means with very little relationship to the standard Christian definitions of righteousness. And they scold and condemn Christians who dare to hold forth on traditional morality and definitions of sin, ridiculing what has been believed by everyone at all times and in every place in the past. For the progressives, Christianity is not a wealth of wisdom, but an obstacle to be overcome and finally suppressed. And they promise a fantasy because they ignore human nature, which remains fallen and needing of healing by God. They imagine, and indeed, an imaginary kingdom, an imaginary future, taking no wisdom from the past, ignoring the fact of life that we fallen human beings are the root cause of all social and government problems. Forever and anon, the problem of man is man. And no social program or progressive idea will change that, but only bring out the worst, as it did in Russia and Eastern Europe and China. Inequality in poverty and misery for all. Progressives in power have killed 100 million people in peacetime, across the communist world. As someone has said, the more beautiful the ideal, the nobler the cause, the greater the crimes you are willing to commit in the name of that cause. What lie has not been told or would not be told to further the cause? In his birth as a man, God in Jesus Christ opened the door to the true kingdom, opened the gates of paradise once more. Christ became poor, making many rich, as the scripture tells us. The alternate vision of the progressives is a few becoming themselves rich and making many poor. Any other grand plan, brothers and sisters, that ignores or rejects Christ is of the pride of the devil and is doomed to failure, but invariably at great pain and suffering to many. St. Paul says in this morning's epistle to Galatians, first chapter, he speaks of when it pleased God to reveal his son in me. When it pleased God to reveal his son in me. And that's it for us. That's where it is for us. As Christians, God has revealed his son in us to be born within us. As many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And we are called to nurture and grow in that grace. Because indeed Christ is our wealth and our riches, our hope for prosperity, for truth and justice, and for our real human progress, our real human progress in holiness towards immortality. Finally, the words of St. Gregory the theologian to remind us of the essence of this great feast we are in. He said, "The Word of God Himself, who is before all worlds, the invisible, the incomprehensible, the bodiless, the source of life and immortality, came to His own image, to us, and took flesh on Him for the sake of our flesh, and mingled Himself with an intelligent soul for my soul's sake, purifying like by like. He came forth as God with that which He assumed, one person in two natures, flesh and spirit, of which the latter deified the former." The Spirit deified the flesh. O new commingling, O strange conjunction, the self-existence comes into being, the uncreated is created, that which cannot be contained is contained, and he who gives riches becomes poor, for he assumes the poverty of my flesh, that I may assume the richness of his divinity. He that is full empties himself, for he empties himself of his glory for a short while, that I may have a share in his fullness. What is the riches of his goodness? What is this mystery that is around me? I had a share in the image, but I did not keep it. He partakes of my flesh, that he may both save the image and make the flesh immortal. Brothers and sisters, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. As that's where we find ourselves. That's our identity. That's who we are. That's why we live. That's how we live in our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, born for our salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Christ is born. Christ is born. Christ is born. Christ is born.